Welcome to Golau, where we shed some light on politics, policy and polling in Wales and the world. As with everyone else at the moment, in this time of COVID, we're recording this and forthcoming episodes of Golau at home. We hope that the quality of the recording isn't a distraction from the substance of the podcast. Thanks for listening. So we have a little bonus episode today recorded with the Wales Fiscal Analysis team. We have Gitor Ivan.
Yeah.
And Cian Tidir.
Hello.
And we thought we'd fire over a few questions that we've crowdsourced via Twitter and elsewhere. Gentlemen, how would you describe the Welsh economy in, I know, three words or less?
I'm trying to think of a way of saying it in three words. Something like not at its full potential.
So let me rephrase the question, I suppose. To quote a Twitter follower, just how bleak is it?
So it depends. Yeah, I don't really know. Don't know too much about what it's like at this moment, particular moment in time, because the lag in the data, that we don't know what's really happening at the moment with the lockdown, what sort of might come after that.
So should we frame this as a pre-COVID? How bleak was it before COVID? And we'll wait to find out the bleakness afterwards.
The better news, perhaps, is on in terms of the number of people in employment, and I guess the long-term gap between Wales and the rest of the UK in terms of the number of people employed and the number of people unemployed, that had been reducing over sort of more recent years. So obviously the downside is the level of pay and the types of jobs being created in the Welsh economy.
Yeah, and I suppose the good news is that since devolution, Wales has not fallen further behind the rest of the UK, even though we've made no improvements either. And there's a running joke within the centre that UFA only publishes bad news on the Welsh economy. So I'm not sure if we can. Yeah, it's pretty bleak according to us.
You mentioned devolution then. What impact has devolution had, if at all, on the Welsh economy and the direction of travel?
So I think one of the difficult things with that question is there's a lack of consistent data prior to, say, 1999. So Gitter did a bit of work in the Wales Fiscal Future report looking at the fiscal deficit in historical context. But it's actually very hard to find consistent data trends from before then, so to compare the period before and after devolution.
The age-old problem is the counterfactual problem of what would have happened in the absence of economic devolution. I'd probably hazard a guess that not much would be different. I think there are wider sort of drivers, global and UK-wide factors, that probably dictate the relative performance of the UK economy. Thinking about sort of COVID-19 and the potential impact on in the longer term, sort of one of the reasons why I think the Welsh economy hasn't caught up with the rest of the UK is the effect of agglomeration economies. So this is particularly seen around the world, but particularly in around London since the sort of the 1980s. The fact that sort of London has been sucking in, and sort of mega cities across the world have been sort of sucking in economic activity from surrounding areas, it's sort of led to more investment being put into highly dense places where sort of people and industries congregate and sort of share sort of ideas. That's the general idea. This is really speculative, but I'm not sure if sort of the pandemic and the sort of the consequences of the pandemic means that agglomeration probably doesn't work, and that might reverse potentially slightly. So that's potentially good news in terms of the relative impact on the Welsh economy. We are more sparsely populated than the southeast of England. So a lot of people have sort of learned new ways of working from home. I think that's going to become obviously a lot more common now. So it doesn't require people to be in London or in a mega city to be very productive. So I think that might change the relative balance in the very longer term, but that's very speculative, obviously.
I love a bit of very speculative stuff from an academic. That's great. You touched on data there, Cian. Can you talk a little bit about
the quality of the data that we have now, and one of the questions we had over Twitter was, is there, how accurate is the data that you're working with now, and is there an impact of not having companies registered in Wales separate from England? This is kind of touching on the England and Wales data set that we get from the ONS and elsewhere, unlike Scotland and Northern Ireland, which have companies registered in Scotland and Northern Ireland. Is there any impact on that at all, or does it not make much of a difference?
Probably only makes a minor difference. So the data on spending that we use is largely going to be accurate, particularly spending by the Welsh government and the local government. The one area where there's a bit more speculation about whether it's properly accounting for what's being spent in Wales is a non-identifiable spending by the UK government, so spending on stuff like defence and the debt. So we get allocated a population share of that, essentially. And it doesn't necessarily mean that 4.7% of, you know, the UK's defence spending actually occurs in Wales. In terms of income and tax revenues, there are some confidence intervals involved.
Can I just ask you, you probably saw my face, I have no idea what a confidence interval is. Can you just explain what a confidence interval is?
Yeah, so it's a range that you can give that you can be 95% sure that the true value lies between that range, if that makes sense.
Basically, it's a give or take, but it is a statistical concept, so that 95% of the time the value is going to be within the confidence interval. But the wider the confidence interval, the greater the uncertainty, if that makes sense. So one of the issues they've had in Scotland is that there were plans to devolve VAT or to assign VAT revenues to Scotland, but they haven't gone ahead with them because they couldn't find a way of actually measuring with great accuracy the VAT that was being collected in Scotland and the rest of the UK. So yeah, there are some, you know, confidence intervals at the margin. In terms of the companies specifically, so even if a company is registered in England, their corporation tax will be counted in Wales, or their corporation tax will be divided according to where their employees are based. So say that a company has 10% of its employees working in Wales, then the corporation tax, 10% of that will be allocated to Wales. So actually where they're headquartered doesn't make a big difference to the deficit figure in Garu, at least.
We also had a question about the Welsh Revenue Authority. Obviously, in fairly recent history, Wales started collecting its own taxes again for the first time in centuries. Do we know anything about how that body is functioning, whether the income tax apportionment is working as designed, and how the other taxes are functioning as well, the Wales-only taxes, the land transaction tax, etc., and what scope there might be for other Welsh-only taxes?
So I think it's worth noting the Welsh Revenue Authority is responsible for collecting the land transaction tax and the landfill disposals tax. Income tax and Welsh rates of income tax continue to be collected by HMRC, so the Welsh government pays for them to administer that tax. But my understanding is that the WRA has been widely considered to be a success story. So for instance, when the first outturn for landfill disposals tax was published, it was actually quite a bit higher than was originally estimated, which seems to suggest they're doing a more efficient job at collecting that tax. Now, you know, it might help that there's only 20 landfill operators in Wales, and you know, it's probably a much higher priority for the WRA than it was when it was in the control of HMRC. And I think it also helps that it's solicitors and conveyancers that are mainly responsible for filing LTT returns and not individuals. And I think that's helped with the process of sort of adapting to the new system quite quickly, because if you look at wider individual public awareness of whether these taxes have been devolved or not, I think there's quite a bit more work to do. But yeah, I mean, the WRA seems to be a success. It was delivered under budget, which is, you know, always a good thing.
I do think that they've won awards for sort of digital working in the public sector. And yeah, so and as Kian said, I think they're sort of widely considered to be a bit of a success story.
Big up the WRA, that's great. In terms of new taxes, because there was a little, there's always, the Welsh government has always been very cautious about the idea of introducing its own taxes. Was it vacant land tax was the one that was highlighted as being a possibility? Obviously, COVID may have changed many things, but do we know if any of those new taxes, those Wales-only taxes, are going to be coming anytime soon?
So I think the idea that they were sort of going with. So they introduced, first of all, they introduced the raised the possibility of introducing four taxes, and one of them being the vacant land tax. So I'm presuming that this sort of work is ongoing in terms of analysing the feasibility of that. I think it should be pointed out that the sort of mechanism of introducing a new tax is quite complicated. So the Welsh government has to jump through a few hoops set by the UK government. So I think the idea was to introduce a sort of a first tax to sort of test the machinery of that before looking at other taxes. I think most the three of the suggested taxes that they mentioned would not have raised enough and a lot of revenue. So they were mainly focused that sort of behavioural influence, but the behaviour of taxpayers influencing the Welsh population. But the exception to that was the social care levy, which would be obviously the by far the biggest change in tax policy. So introducing a new tax to fund public spending on social care. That would have been quite a massive undertaking. I think that's been, perhaps it's going to take a few years and probably a manifesto commitment and obviously an election and then a new government to implement that.
Great, thank you very much. At the moment, of course, we're in a COVID-19 crisis, both a health crisis and an economic crisis. If we expect that there will be tough economic times ahead, is there anything that can be done to prevent Wales being disproportionately hit as part of the UK?
Yes, yeah, it's quite difficult to say. I think Kian touched on it in another discussion, was on the fact that the Welsh government will have to broadly follow the path of the UK government for purely fiscal reasons, I think, because it's very difficult to diverge substantially on policy when you can't diverge on in terms of the cost of those policies. I think something that we've called for in one of the reports that we've written on the fiscal response is that the Welsh government should be able to issue or take on its own debt. So I think that's it's not a question of spending more money. I think it's a question of increasing the accountability of the Welsh government in terms of if the Welsh government believes that spending money now on supporting businesses and individuals through this crisis will have longer term benefits, and then that can be paid for by in future revenues. I think that it should be able to do that. And so barring that, if that's not sort of an option, it's, traditionally the Treasury has been very reluctant to allow the devolved governments to sort of to increase borrowing on their own. And if that's not possible, then the Barnett formula, our old friend, the Barnett formula should be changed to reflect any additional needs, the higher levels of needs or the higher levels of impact in Wales. So broadly to say that we get a population share of anything that's spent in England through the Barnett formula. If Wales is more impacted, or we should be getting a higher than population share through Barnett formula.
Okay, and to finish, this is by far and away the question that came up most on Twitter. And I believe this is something that you explored in your Wales's Fiscal Future report. Is Wales too poor to be independent?
Yeah, so in the Fiscal Future report, we sort of highlighted that the problem was lower income rather than higher spending. And actually, you know, when you compare Wales to the EU average, you know, you could increase tax rates quite a bit. You could actually, if you were to raise tax rates in Wales to the EU average, or the Eurozone average rather, you know, you'd raise around £5 billion in additional revenue. You know, so you'd be almost halving the deficit. I think the question for Wales is, or an independent Wales rather, is how you go about doing that. Because obviously you also have to think about the cross-border issues. You know, presuming that we would have a fairly porous border with the rest of the UK, there's a worry that if you increased income tax rates, say, diverged quite a lot, then there'd be some movement from one side of the border to the other. And there's an interesting paradox here, actually. I think that, you know, the government of an independent Wales may be actually quite constrained still by what the UK government does with respect to its tax rates. And of course, it wouldn't just impact income tax. You'd be talking about VAT as well. You know, if you had lower VAT rates across the border, people would be, you know, going over to do their large high value purchases over there. So there's a lot of stuff. And I think if you wanted to increase revenues, then you're sort of forced to levy those additional taxes on the less mobile tax bases. So things like land, maybe property, and away from stuff like corporate profits, and especially in Wales's case, consumption, given that so many people live near the border. One of the other things we explored in the report was the prospect of raising additional revenue by applying a levy on water or energy exports. So it's something that's been talked about a lot on Twitter, at least. Now, it's true that Wales generates around twice as much energy as it consumes. And we worked out that the sort of the wholesale value of the energy exports from Wales was around £900 million a year. Now, if you were to put a levy on a part of that, you're sort of led to conclude that, you know, you'd only be able to raise maybe tens, hundreds of millions of pounds at the most. And I think you've got the additional factor that the UK already has interconnectors with the rest of Europe. So, you know, they're not going to pay more than the market price for that energy. And I think perhaps more troubling, I think, for an Independence Wales, if they wanted to raise additional revenue this way, is that there was a recent ruling from the European Court of Justice that Slovakia couldn't charge for energy exports within the single market because it would have the effect of a customs duty in a way. And so it would violate the principle of free movement of goods and services. So that's another thing that you would have to consider. I think the bottom line is, you know, natural resources have been an important, a key aspect of the Welsh economy in the past, whether it's coal, steel, slate, copper, and so on. But, you know, in the 21st century, we are entering the service economy. And I think in that context, probably our most valuable resource is our workforce. And I think having a well-educated, highly skilled workforce is the key to increasing our tax revenues.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your time answering a few questions. If you have further questions, please fire them over via Twitter. Both our guests today, Kian Tidir and Gito Ivan, are both on Twitter, as is the Wales Governance Centre. Thank you for your time listening and stay well.
Thanks for listening to Golai, a Cardiff University podcast. If you've enjoyed listening, please like and subscribe on your podcast player of choice. Or you can catch up with all of our episodes going back to the dawn of Brexit on our SoundCloud channel.